Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California, also the host of this program. And we're trying something brand new for this Ancient Future Faith radio broadcast today, a three-way conversation. And I think I have all my buttons and dials tucked in properly. And I want to get straight to it because I think we have a very important conversation today. On the line with me is Dr. Ellen Kohler. She is one of our founding elders and also our pastor for worship and liturgy. And also on the phone today is Dr. Steve Pinson. He's also one of our founding elders, and he's also a veteran physician, an anesthesiologist here in the Sacramento area, been doing that for 30 years. Steve, I've also been putting people asleep for 30 years, but with my voice and not with medications. I'm very glad to have you here. Ellen, Steve, welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Certainly.
Thank you, Chris. It's always good to be with you.
Today, I wanted to talk about what could very well be a complicated topic because, gosh, it hits on health concerns. It also hits on worship and liturgy. And it's so complicated, it's a little daunting. But I think if there were ever two folks who could sort this out for us in a straightforward and biblical and godly way, it's you guys. So I want to get straight to the issue, which is this current COVID pandemic and how churches are moving forward, the difficult choices that churches are having to make. We are blessed at Epiclesis because we have Dr. Steve Pinson, who is an elder emeritus, who's a physician. Let's see, today is the 19th of June when we are recording this. Steve, what's sort of the current status right now with the virus and other sort of stats and things that you think might be appropriate for us to talk about with respect to our local area in particular?
Well, sure, Chris. We went through the state lockdown on activities, and I think people found it to be something new, something that they could potentially embrace, and I think people were relatively compliant. And then we came to the recent holiday weekend, and as the state started to announce opportunities to relax some of the guidelines, there's been an opportunity for people to say, hey, this is getting old, and based on people's interacting more in the community, we're definitely seeing more community spread of the virus. And so there's some resurgence in the uptick of hospitalizations. And in terms of a public health standpoint, there's concern.
Ellen, in terms of issues that church leadership face in these days, what are some of the top things that are going through your mind? What are the big issues as far as you're concerned?
Well, one of the top things that we've been discussing here in the past week or so is just the many vast ways that division can happen amongst people's opinions and desires for when they want to reopen and how quickly and to what degree. Some folks are very anxious to open up completely and others are a bit reticent and to wait and see what happens and where the upticks are and to go in a kind of a go slow mode to reopening. And so we're sensitive to both sides for all of our decisions to be made in love, that we will walk in love and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's one of the top things I think that's important to us. And I know it's also been something that's been talked about in churches across the country.
Dr. Steve, you undoubtedly feel some of this tension as well and understand it, that folks are tired of the lockdown. And then it becomes easy to think of these things that we're being asked to follow as onerous. But as a physician, I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're kind of wired to want people to take this cautiously and slowly, yes?
Well, yes and no. I'd like to think that people can proceed with reasonable information, except that it's tough to get reasonable information.
Yeah.
And I think there's an opportunity for this uncertainty to, as Ellen alluded to divide people in the church. There's certainly an opportunity for people to say, I'm a member of the kingdom, and as such, God's going to take my life and do with it what he wants. And an approach taken to an extreme in that regard is we can do whatever we want as a church in terms of reopening, and God's going to handle it and take care of it. But there's also the approach of, hey, God gave us information about public health. God gave us a concern for each other as brothers and sisters and for people that are not in the kingdom, and we need to take those people's health seriously in terms of the way we conduct ourselves to try not to infect them. So there are two extremes that are opposed to each other, and hopefully there's a middle ground that we can take that's reasonable and loving to both our brothers and sisters in Christ and those that are not, and the public health criteria that would keep everybody safe in that regard. So it's tough.
Yeah, that's the balancing point, isn't it? I was referring last night to a tipping point. I'm not sure that's even the right word, but we had an elders meeting last night where we were saying, where is the balance place between everyone's obvious desire and urge to be back together and to be appropriately cautious? Steve, I have a question for you about that information here in just a second, but let me remind folks that they're listening to a program called Ancient Future Faith. It's brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. On the phone with me today is Dr. Steve Pinson, a local anesthesiologist, also a longtime member and founding elder of Epiclesis. Also on the phone today, we're doing this for the first time, is Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's not only a founding elder of our church, but also serves as our pastor for worship and liturgy. Steve, before the break, you said that it's difficult to get good information. Why is that?
Well, it's in part that we've not had this as a virus infecting humans previously. We have information about other viruses that we can sort of gauge what's likely to happen with, but viruses in and of themselves tend to be not stable entities. There's the opportunity for mutations to occur in them and for them to start behaving differently than they have previously. So for a host of reasons, because this is so new and because it can be evolving, there hasn't been all that much science conducted because there hasn't been that much time on this particular virus. There's definitely a lot of uncertainty.
Ellen, that leads to the division that you were alluding to a minute ago. You said that as an elder, you want to be very careful about making sure that there is no division among us. Do you think that one of the divisions that's at least possible in churches is because there seems to be a lot of information out there? Some of it seems to be conflicting.
Oh, absolutely. And as Christians, we can only proceed with both the knowledge that we have and the wisdom that the Lord gives us, and then relying on the Holy Spirit to fill in those places where the other two don't fully give us a full picture or a full strategy. So I think that one of the things that we have to do is to be in close contact in a very pastoral way with as many of the people in our congregations as we can, so that we can keep on top of where they are, what they need, what their feelings are, and their needs and their desires.
Dr. Steve, the last time you and I had a conversation on this program, you mentioned that at least for Christians, this is not necessarily a new thing. There have been times in our history where Christians faced pandemics, and it was important to be the church. What are some ways that you think that the church can be the church, especially in times like these?
Yeah, I don't think that we have to stop ministering to each other and setting public example of what Christians can do in terms of loving one another and loving those that are non-Christian in the midst of this. That's what happened as a pandemic went into Rome. The Christians weren't fleeing the city. The Christians were staying and ministering to those who were ill and having problems. And it was an example that led many, many people to Christ. So in the process of this pandemic, as we see people who are shut in and need resources, as we see family members who may be facing other family members who are ill and going into the hospital, or who have a lot of angst about what's going on and uncertainty, we can minister to them in loving and Christ-like ways that can be an example of how Christ is operating here now in the midst of what this pandemic is giving us.
Ellen, let me ask you the same question. We believe at Epiclesis that worship shapes us, that it is formational in our lives as Christians. What do you do when you can't be together physically? Because, I mean, let's face it, the gathered physical body of the church has been at the center of Christian worship from the beginning. So how do you be the church when you can't go to church?
Well, one thing that I loved about what Steve just said is that we have a lot of new opportunities Now, this is not an entirely new situation across the history of humankind, but it's new for us. It's not in our recent memory. And as the church, we can ask God to give us a whole lot of new opportunities and a lot of creativity for meeting people's needs in these new conditions. So one of the things that we've been doing, like most churches across the country, is having Zoom church.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think that's even become a common cliche. Are you doing Zoom church today?
Right.
And what we have done is try to make our services as reflective and close to what we normally do as we possibly can. And so our liturgies look very much like they do on a regular basis. We can't do live music very much, and so we've tried to put in the musical elements as best we can. We've tried to put in corporate speaking and professing of faith and confession of sin and assurance of pardon and times of offering and giving testimony and things like that as much as we can on that platform. And our people have said that it is filling the void, not perfectly, but as best as it can in these conditions, even though right now we are very, very hungry to be back together face to face.
For sure. I'd like to turn our attention to a topic that absolutely fascinates me, and that is, what do we do in church when healthcare needs and or mandates from, say, government officials may directly impact liturgical action, things that we do in a worship service? Because I think that is a conflict point or potential one that many people out there are struggling with. Just the notion of we're not supposed to be together without masks. But there are other things, too, that strike me as really tough for us Christians to get our heads around. So, Steve, let me go to you first. And then, Ellen, I'll ask you to react from a theological, liturgical perspective on those things. Steve, the mandate is that when we gather, we're supposed to do social distancing that includes masks. Tell us what those guidelines are, and would you tell us how that would affect what we do in the church?
Well, sure. From the medical standpoint, the virus is spread by droplet spread, which, when people are just in a speaking mode, can transmit directly to the next person up to, I think they're thinking, about 6 feet. And wearing a mask, although it primarily does not protect the individual wearing it from getting infected, can prevent an infected person who may be asymptomatic from actually shedding the virus into the room to other people. So it has a protective value, but it's sort of antithetical to this, we want to touch and console and lay hands on other members of the congregation. And so we need to develop ways where we can be loving and safe simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
Other elements that come to play are serving communion,
right,
or the use of holy water, mm-hmm, in the services are all elements that have some opportunity for viral spread, that maybe we need to maintain all the liturgical and religious importance of, but maybe modify in ways that don't diminish that, but yet maintain the safety.
Yeah, another one at the top of the list for a lot of people is singing, of course. Steve, here's a medical question that also has opinions attached to it all over the place. And let me just ask you this way. Are the guidelines that are in place right now, say for us here in Sacramento County in California, reasonable? And do you think we ought to follow them in the church?
Yes, Chris, I do think they're reasonable. They're based on the best science available. I know there's some speculation that perhaps people have an agenda against the church and maybe they're not allowing certain things to occur in religious settings that they are allowing to occur in other settings. Honestly, that could be occurring, but my impression is people are just trying to use the science that's available, which is relatively limited, to try to come up with the best health guidelines possible.
Ellen, the things that he mentions make sense. It's a practical way, healthcare way. My concern, though, and we've talked about this, is that what we do right now will have implications not only for the right now, but may have long-lasting implications or shape what we do long-term that may not be, well, good for the body. Your thoughts on these things?
I think those are very valid concerns. When we do get together, we will be considerate of others and thinking of them as more important than ourselves. So we will practice social distancing and wearing of the masks and those kinds of guidelines and recommendations. But yet people are hungry for touch, for laying on hands, even for anointing with oil. And so when things are opened up completely, I don't think that it will be hard for people to go back to sitting close together, laying on of hands, praying closely for one another. But one of the things that you and I have talked about is distributed kind of virtual worship. Will that make people more likely want to continue their relative ease of being able to take their coffee into their living room and just have church at home? And that does seem to be a concern for churches. Many of them are talking about these kinds of things. And so what we do now as far as continuing to provide worship experiences for people, for our congregants, and then any of those who may be watching us on Facebook or Zoom that live far apart, we want to provide for them meaningful, impactful, and valid worship experiences that they can take and incorporate into their lives, and that will really drive them to want to be back together again, because we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Steve, are people going to continue to wear masks after this is all over with? Even when the mandates or guidelines are lifted, do you think some of these behaviors are going to be things that are ingrained in folks and they continue to do?
I'm not sure is the answer. We have such a tradition in the United States of individualism, and we've clearly seen recently that there's kind of an opportunity for people to rebel against, you're going to tell me what to do kind of things.
Right.
But clearly there are other societies that have benefited health-wise, even from just the transmission of the normal seasonal flu, from deciding once I feel ill, I don't want to impose my illness on somebody else, so I'm going to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And would it be a good idea from a public health standpoint during flu season, if you're not feeling well and you need to get out into public, to wear a mask? Yes. Would that be something that persists after COVID? I don't know. Maybe. That might be a good thing, but we'll see.
Ellen, what about you?
Well, there are several things that I'm hoping will continue after the intensity of the pandemic restrictions are lifted. You know, one of those is that congregants really do seem tuned into ministering to one another, being pastors to one another and encouraging one another. So making calls, sending cards, sending emails, dropping off flowers or goodies at someone's door in more instances than they have before. I think that's a very good thing as far as just pastoring one another and being watchful over our spiritual health for one another. I think, too, that one of the things that we may be seeing when all of these restrictions are lifted and hopefully the pandemic scare is over for good, is that when we do get back together again, people will be so appreciative of what they have been missing and craving, that they will have a new understanding of the blessings of being together in corporate worship to raise up Christ and to tell, sing, enact, and pray the whole story of God together, because
yeah,
those things are formational for us.
Steve, same question.
Yeah, sure. Some of the things in terms of the way we minister to each other, and we think of creative ways of doing that. Yeah, I hope those things will continue. I hope that it spurs people's hearts to want to minister to one another in new and novel ways. But I do share the concern that those who maybe aren't quite as mature, whose motivations for attending church are maybe to serve their needs rather than to go and worship a holy God, there may be an opportunity to seek convenience instead of the opportunity to get together as a collective church
yeah,
to worship.
A quick story about that, folks. But first, let me remind you, you're listening to Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis. We're talking today to Dr. Ellen Kohler. She's our pastor for worship and liturgy. Also to Dr. Steve Pinson, a local anesthesiologist who also is a founding elder of our church. And our remaining moments, let me tell you a quick story, guys. Over the last week in particular, I've talked to a bunch of folks from across the U.S. Some of them are pastors, some of them are, say, music leaders, others are just regular old lay people who have expressed the concern that they're fearful that a good many folks are not going to come back to church after this is over. there may be the initial fear of the virus still lingering, but as Ellen said a minute ago, it could be that folks are used to doing pajama church and don't really see the value of coming back. I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit, each of you, on this. Steve, is this thing going to be over with? And do you think folks will come back to church? There's no doubt in my mind the church will continue, right? Because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But is it going to end? And are folks going to come back? What do you think?
This, I think, will end. I think we'll have new treatments, better treatments, and we'll have a vaccine that will immunize. And we'll have enough herd immunity that this thing won't transmit. So, yes, I think this will end. Will it be immediate? I don't think so. Do I think people will return to church? I share the concern that the motivation of the persons attending church may dictate whether they return or not. If it's been because they want something out of going to church, if it's a self-serving motivation, then they may find they are not receiving what they thought anymore, and they can get it at home.
Yeah.
But if your intention is to go to worship, that's better done collectively. I think you've said many times that we don't just receive a personal benefit, but our attending may be important for somebody else's spiritual development.
Yes.
And they're being drawn in and connected to Christ. So the corporate body is very important, and the people that already knew that before the pandemic began will return.
Ellen, now over to you in the same question.
Well, I do think this thing is going to be over with. I think historically, when we look at pandemics and plagues, they do run their course, but sometimes it takes longer than others. Will people come back to church? A couple of things come to mind. One is that human beings worship because we're made to do so. We were created in God's image to be in community with Him. So we do worship because that's how we're made. But we're also fallen, and so we may worship other things or other idols. But as Steve has said, for those who are mature and who worship corporately because that is best for us and others, then I think that those will. Another thing that came to mind was the psychological aspect, that psychologically human beings are social beings,
mm-hmm.
and we're meant to touch, we're meant to connect. And so this isolation is a very tough thing for most people, not all, but for most people. And so people will be craving getting together again for corporate worship. And I think that one of the ways we can help to keep that fresh in our congregants' minds and their spirits and their hearts is to provide as much as we can opportunities to get together safely in small groups as we're allowed to do, like small gatherings in the park or small gatherings for prayer. So for those and other reasons, I think, yes, people will come back to church.
Well, we're very blessed at Epiclesis to have the both of you on our team. And that's how we've done it, folks. We're going carefully, as I'm sure you are at your church, relying on a whole lot of prayer and the wisdom from folks like Dr. Steve Pinson and Dr. Ellen Kohler. Guys, thank you again, both of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome, Chris. It's been a blessing to be here and talk about these things with you and Steve.
So, folks, until we gather again for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, friends. This is Pastor Chris. One more word, please, before you go. Wanted to let you know that during this difficult time of the COVID-19 virus, we are not gathering at Epiclesis in body, but we are virtually in body because we share the same head, Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in hearing more about our virtual worship services or special small groups or prayer services, please check out epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. Stay safe, and the Lord be with you.